In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we will continue our series concerning the errors of Vatican II. And this week I would like to speak to you about the error of the decree on ecumenism, which says that non-Catholic churches and religions are a means of salvation. Now, remember that all of this is spurred on by the ecumenical frenzy, that in order to achieve the goal of the amalgamation of religions, it is necessary to remove the dogmas that are the obstacles to these religions. Not all dogmas must go, because not all of them are obstacles. And in order to dispense with those problems, they cultivate a dogmatic indifference, which we will see later. But one of the doctrines of the Church that is an obstacle to the amalgamation of religions is the teaching that outside the Church there is no salvation, that the Church is the unique source of salvation in the world. And so that dogma had to be destroyed. And this is the way they destroyed it. They said the Spirit of Christ has not refrained from using them. And them here, if you see the text, refers to the separated churches, has not refrained from using them as means of salvation, which derive their efficacy from the very fullness of grace and truth entrusted to the Church. Now, when they say the Church, they mean this big, invisible Church of Christ. Now, the Church teaches and has always taught that outside the Church there is no salvation. In Latin, it is a beautiful formula, extra ecclesiam nulla salus. It is like a Trinitarian formula, or one of the great formulas of the faith. Outside the Church there is no salvation. Pope Pius IX calls this dogma a most well-known Catholic dogma. And he said in an encyclical in 1854 that it, and this is a quote, it must be held by faith that outside the apostolic Roman Church no one can be saved. That this is the unique ark of salvation. And that he who does not enter it shall perish in the flood. Now, what does the Church understand by this doctrine? It understands first that the Roman Catholic Church is the unique Church of Christ, and that to her alone has been confided the means of salvation. It also understands that anyone who knowingly and voluntarily does not enter this Church, or those who have entered it and are a part of it, then leave it, they will go to hell. It also understands that those who are outside of it through no fault of their own, that is, through invincible ignorance, are not guilty of sin on this account, and will not go to hell on this account, that they have not joined the Roman Catholic Church. And the reason is, as Pope Pius IX says, is that with all obligation and as a general rule that applies to all sin, that if you do not know that you are committing a sin, if you are not aware of an obligation through invincible ignorance, that is, you have no idea and cannot find out by ordinary means, that sin is not able to be imputed to you, applied to you. And that applies to this obligation. But to go from that, from the fact that some people may be in good faith ignorant of the Catholic faith, and for that reason are not going to hell, because of their ignorance. To go from that fact to saying that a non-Catholic religion or a non-Catholic sect is a means of salvation is not only an absurdity, but it is also a blasphemy, and we'll see why. I'll give you an example. If you are out hunting and you shoot a man thinking that it's a deer, that sin of shooting a man, which would ordinarily be murder, is not imputed to you because you thought that man was a deer. Morally, there is no sin. You would not even have to confess it, even if you shot him dead. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean that you can make, therefore, a legitimate sport out of going into the woods and shooting people. It's an absurdity. And that's what they're trying to say, that because some people may be excused because of their ignorance, that then it becomes legitimate to practice these religions, and these religions actually take on a legitimacy of being a means of salvation, that God uses them as a means of salvation. It's as absurd as saying that you could go and make a sport out of shooting people in the woods. Now, it is true that valid sacraments are found outside the Catholic Church. That's true. Heretics, schismatics, Jews, Muslims, and atheists can all validly baptize, as an example. The baptisms of many of the Protestant sects are valid. Probably the Anglicans and Episcopalians, in most cases, baptize validly. The Greek Orthodox, as a rule, have the priesthood and have the episcopacy, and therefore have a valid Holy Eucharist and a valid sacrifice of the Mass. Of this there is no doubt. But from that fact, that these valid sacraments exist outside the confines of the Catholic Church, from that fact it cannot be inferred that separated churches, as they call them, can be used or are used by the Spirit of Christ as a means of salvation. Christ uses the Roman Catholic Church as his unique means of salvation, since it is his mystical body and his immaculate spouse, and therefore endowed with all of the qualities necessary to be an instrument of divine authority in the world. In order that something be an instrument, it must have certain qualities. In order for you to write, you must need an instrument like a pen that has certain qualities that permits it to write. If it does not have those qualities, you put it down, you have no use for it. It is in no way serves its purpose if it does not have those qualities. And the qualities that the Church of Christ must have in order to be the means of salvation are the qualities of infallibility and indefectibility, that anyone approaching that church receives the true doctrine of Christ and cannot receive falsehood, but receives the true, unerring doctrine of Christ. That is the only way in which God can use a religion. And unless he endow that religion with the gift of infallibility, that religion is worthless. And the only one endowed with that is the religion which he founded, the Roman Catholic Church. And it is the only church which even claims it, oddly enough. The others don't even claim to have the one quality, or one of the qualities, and the most important quality, which would make it an instrument of salvation, and that is infallibility. The others don't even claim it. Christ, or the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, cannot use a non-Catholic church or religion or sect as a means of salvation, since owing to its schism or its heresy, it cannot sanctify men. God could no more use one of these religions as a means of salvation than a man could use a spoon to cut down a tree. A spoon would be useless in cutting down a tree. It is a wonderful instrument of eating mush, but it is useless in cutting down a tree because it does not have the necessary qualities. And so also, schism and heresy make the sect or the religion incapable of being an instrument or a means of salvation, because God is truth. I have come to witness unto the truth, he said to Pilate, and those who are of the truth hear my voice. How is it possible, even conceivable, that God could use a sect which promotes heresy concerning him, an error concerning him, that he could use that as a means of sanctifying people? What does sanctification mean? Sanctification means that you're like God. How can he use a sect which promotes error, which promotes heresy, that says, for instance, that our Lord Jesus Christ is not present in the Holy Eucharist? How could he use such a sect to make men like himself? It is impossible. It is a blasphemy to think it. It is a blasphemy to think that he either could or would use anything like that as a means of salvation. Now, imagine, for example, compose the scene in your mind of our Lord preaching the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist in the synagogue of Capernaum. And there he has his apostles and other people who are interested in his doctrines. He preaches the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist. He says, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." And at the end of this discourse, some of the people begin to murmur and say, "This is a hard saying. How can this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink?" And many, if not most of them, turned their backs on him and walked off. Now imagine if he said to those people, "Hold it. I will give you an apostolic mission. I'll set you up as a church too. And you can preach the doctrine that the Holy Eucharist is nothing but bread. But you'll be all right too. You'll be legitimate. You can have your own church. And then the apostles will have their church. The ones that remain faithful to me on this doctrine will have their church too. And you'll both be able to be fishers of men." Imagine the absurdity of such a scene. Imagine changing the gospel in such a way. Or again, imagine this, that if there were a schism among the apostles, even after the Last Supper when they had the power to confect the Holy Eucharist, let's say there was a schism, and let's say some of them denied the Holy Eucharist, and there they are on Mount Olivet, and our Lord is ready to ascend into heaven, and he says, "Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And those who do not believe shall be condemned." The words of Christ. And he says it to these who preach the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist, and he says it to those who say that the Holy Eucharist is a blasphemy. He says the same thing to both of them, even though they're split up. You will be the church of Christ with a mission from Christ, and you will be the church of Christ with a mission from Christ, even though you contradict each other on my Holy Eucharist. And he says to each of them, who does not believe, your preaching shall be condemned. So if you believe the one, you're condemned by the other. And if you believe the other, you're condemned by the first one. This is an absurdity. This is an absurdity that many churches that contradict each other could be the Church of Christ, or that they could be a means of salvation. Imagine changing the gospel, a gospel like that we would laugh at. Because God is truth, and he has come to witness unto the truth. The fact that Protestants give valid baptism, or that the schismatic Greeks have a valid priesthood and Holy Eucharist, means nothing. They use these things in an illegitimate manner. In the same way that someone who stole your car uses your car in an illegitimate manner. The fact that your car works in his driveway and he goes out and takes it out and drives it around does not in any way legitimize his thievery. Those things are the sacraments of Christ. And yes, they work, just like your car works when it's stolen. But the fact that somebody would use your car actually makes him more guilty. It is one thing to steal it. It is another thing to drive it around. It makes him more guilty, and it makes them more guilty, and does not legitimize their use, or in any way legitimize them as churches because they have these things. It makes them more guilty. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the masses of schismatics do not give grace. It is the teaching of the church that the source and flow of grace in the world comes from the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Just as the blood of Christ flowed down from Calvary, this is a constant flow. And St. Thomas says that the masses of schismatics, although they're valid, do not cause this flow of grace on the world. Why? Because God is displeased. It is as if to take one of the lambs of his flock and sacrifice them outside of his flock. Christ is the Lamb of God, and he must be sacrificed in the Church of Christ. And when he is sacrificed outside of the Church of Christ, that is not pleasing to God the Father. And St. Jerome says that the masses of the schismatics rise as a stench to God, and he holds his nose. Those are the words of St. Jerome, that God holds his nose for the stench because he is displeased. That does not rise as a pleasing sacrifice to God. Rather, it stays down on earth like the sacrifice of Cain. So it means nothing, that elements of sanctification, if you want to call them, or as Vatican II calls them, are found in other religions. It means nothing. It actually accuses them more. If they abandon the religion, they should abandon the things of Christ altogether. And the fathers of the church are universal in their attestation that it is impossible to have salvation outside of the Church of Christ. They are so explicit, and there is so much testimony, and they are so perfectly universal in their teaching that it would be impossible in a single sermon to quote all of their sayings. They all say it, and they all say it explicitly. It comes from the doctrine of the apostles. Read St. John the Evangelist, what he says in his epistles about the heretics and those who have the spirit of Antichrist. This is apostolic doctrine. And yet, Wojtyła, JP2, he confirms the evil doctrine of Vatican II. In his encyclical on the Catechism, back in 1981, he said, "It is extremely important to give a fair and correct presentation of the other churches and ecclesial communities that the Spirit of Christ does not refrain from using as a means of salvation. So he insists that this evil doctrine, which contradicts explicitly the teaching of the church, be fed to the little children on a universal plane. Be fed to the little children, that they be taught these evil things. It is amazing to that they get away with this. It is shocking that the council could have been so bold as to say it, and it is more shocking that these people get away with saying these things, because they are so clearly against the teaching of the church. For listen to the words of Pius IX in contrast to Wojtyła. Pope Pius IX, in an encyclical in 1863, condemns, and this is a quote, "the very grave error which is found among some Catholics who adopt the belief that persons living in errors and outside the true faith can arrive at eternal life. This is supremely contrary to Catholic doctrine," unquote. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.